Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, please visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 104, June 26th, 2013. Field Day was a great success. Good evening, everybody. This is K9EID, fresh back from Field Day 2013. And we're going to have a really great show tonight about Field Day and other things. We'll switch down to Costa Mesa and see, did you dig out of the sand and all that, Gordo, for Field Day? How you doing?
We had a great Field Day, and look who came along with us, Don Arnold, W6GPS with AppMap. Hi, Donnie.
Hey, how's everybody going out there in Ham Nation?
All right.
Just popping in.
Yeah, and we're recovering from Field Day. It was a biggie, as you'll see. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, that's cool. All right. And Don, nice to see you tonight. How are you doing? You went to your home club and enjoyed the weekend?
I did. Went to the Pearl River County Amateur Radio Club Field Day on Saturday and had a great time. And then we're having, we're going to get together, do a little bit of cooking tomorrow night, the club is. We're making ham tomorrow night. So, yeah, we're going to do this tomorrow night, and we're going to make some new ham. So, had a great weekend. Going to have a great night tomorrow night. And thanks to the folks from offroadham.com. These guys sent me the hat and the bumper stickers for my Jeep and everything, and I'm loving it. Back to you, Bob.
All right. Well, you'll be back in a little bit with Newsline. Well, there's so much to do about Field Day, and one of the things we want to do right off the bat is we want to switch out to Wichita with Dale. Dale has been a real force in what's been going on here since the After Show Nets took off with the four guys, and he is now the person that you're going to send your videos to, because he's a professional journalist. He's been doing this for years, and we're really excited to have you join us each weekday. So take over and let's see what's going on in all of your world of pictures.
Okay, Bob, thank you very much. We'll go for it here. We've got four Field Day videos that we selected this evening. They were shot and edited over the weekend. And I'm not going to talk too much tonight. Just want to get these videos on there so we can get some more in here to look at next week. We'll kick things off with a submission from the San Francisco Radio Club, operating as W6PW. The video was shot by Dave Bilecci, WA6UHA. It's introduced by Club President Tony Dowler, K6BV. Here we go.
Hi, and welcome to Field Day 2013, sponsored by the San Francisco Radio Club. My name is Tony, my call sign Kilo 6 Bravo Victor, and we're set up here at a property known as Fort Miley West, just off of the VA Hospital campus here in San Francisco, overlooking the beautiful Pacific at a very, very nice property where we have been setting up Field Day for a number of years. We're on the air and making contacts as we speak in several different modes, including single sideband, CW, and a new one, PSK31 Digital Communications. So join us for a fun day of Field Day.
What a great place for a field day overlooking the Pacific there. I'd like to thank Dave for doing that work. He sent it in. It was quite a little bit longer. We had him trim it down a bit. There were some interviews in there that were too long, and there was a lot of wind noise and things. So we tried to shorten it down with just the pictures of the activity there overlooking the Pacific. Really appreciate it, Dave and Tony. Let's move clear across the country now to the East Coast and go to the field day sponsored by the Rowan Amateur Radio Society in Salisbury, North Carolina. The club was formed back in 1937. Their video was produced by George Huffman, KD4MXA, and it features several creative antenna launching techniques. Let's watch together.
We set up our antennas Friday afternoon, so when we arrive Saturday, all we have to do is clean the shelter and get it ready to set all our equipment up into. Before you can begin any ham activity, there's always the mandatory pickup truck meeting. And then we start fishing for antennas.
First learning experience of the day.
Tie your weight on a little tighter. Then we swapped over to the slingshot method.
8 feet.
It takes a good set of eyes to find the weight in the trees. Then you reel it in, and we usually reel in the fishing line tied to a smaller line, and then we haul over our main line. This is Dead Aim Brown. He couldn't miss. Of the four antennas, he shot three of them over with a total of three shots. It's quite amazing to see. I don't believe the small animals stood a chance in his neighborhood. We then roll the rope up on a smaller line and then pull it up to a bigger line. And then you need to get electricity to all your equipment. And we use this small generator. It serves our needs quite well. It never missed a beat and ran continuously for the 24 hours. When 2 o'clock got here, the fun really starts to begin. This is Neil, our club president, on the sideband station. Look at that concentration. This is a general overview of our setup. Here's a shot of the 6-meter dipole running to the VHF station, which also doubles as a satellite station, and we try to get one satellite contact every year.
W4EXU.
This is our get on the air station, or our go to station. It was quite active and logged quite a few contacts. And probably like most clubs, our most active station is the CW station. The Tentec Orion 2 serves as a great, great CW station.
Number 3T.
And he logs another one. This is our digital station. A Yaesu 897 just hooked to a computer running ham radio deluxe software. And then no ham event is complete without food. Hot dogs and hamburgers tonight. This is Wayne, our CW guru. He stayed up almost the entire 24 hours and logged the majority of the contacts. Here's another shot of our sideband station. He was running the Yaesu 450D, I believe. Did a great job with a Heil mic and a Heil push-to-talk. All of our logging software is the N3FJP, I believe, networked together. And as dawn arises, blank stares into computer screens. And the sideband station keeps logging more contacts. A shot of the VHF station on Sunday morning. 6 meters was pretty active Sunday morning. And we waited on our one satellite pass that we were going to be able to make that day. This is a shot probably about 3 hours, 4 hours before the end of field day.
Well, that was our field day. Hope you had as much fun as yours as we did at ours. Field day offers a little something for everyone, whether it's CW, phone, digital, antenna construction, the list goes on. Whether you're an experienced ham or an intrigued visitor, get involved. Local clubs are everywhere. You can visit ours at rowanars.org or our local Aries website at rowancares.org. Until next time, this is George, KD4MXA, 73.
Thank you very much, George, for that video. George worked early this morning to get that to us. His was a little long also, and we had to shorten it down. And he did all that editing this morning and sent it on in to us. We'll move now to the Midwest and pick up Field Day from the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club. That's in Greenville, Wisconsin. The video is narrated, and it was produced by Ham Nation's own Dan Van Evenhochen, N9LVS. He updates the Ham Nation Wiki every week. Jack Hill, KK0I, Kirby Scott, KC9QFH, Donna Mendine, KC9THF, and Luke Hines, KC9UYT, helped Dan photograph the entire field day. And here's that video from Dan.
The Foxes Amateur Radio Club held their annual field day event at the Greenville Grange near Appleton, Wisconsin. And of course, the public was welcome. The Greenville Grange is one of the oldest buildings in the area and is a historical landmark. We open up the camper for voice operation and we put together the tent, which was our CW station. And with Tony, AB9IO, at the controls of the launcher, we started hanging antennas. The Boy Scouts stopped by to see what ham radio was all about. We showed them how to build antennas out of regular items that you'd find around the house. We used random wire dipoles fed with 300 ohm television lead into a 4-to-1 ballon and then into a tuner for both the CW and voice stations. Right away when field day started, we started off by making our solar contacts. It's a QRP operation and worked quite nicely. After the solar contacts were made, then it was time to plug in the forklift battery, click our heels together, and start the real contest. RCW operators take field day very seriously and work very hard to make their contacts. We do treat field day as a training exercise, showing people things that we've learned in the past and passing it on. Also, we had a nice demonstration of the different digital modes, from RIDI to JT65. And what's field day without having some issues, like antenna problems, and even problems with the tent? And let's not forget Mother Nature. She reared her head on Saturday night, stopping our operation for almost an hour. The voice station consisted of several operators, including Lori, KC9SCO, Mike, N9IAT, and James, AC9DM, as well as Neil, KC9MLD, and Rich, N9AQ. Also, there's Eric, KG8RF, and Andy, KC9IZF. And let's not forget Susie, AC9FA, our 9-year-old extra, an anchor for our voice station. And then we have the CW operators, Jack, KK0I, Andy, NC5Y, Jim, WB9OJE, and Gary, W9HM. Field Day for the Foxes Amateur Radio Club is really a family event. Field Day is the time to try out new stuff, like Pico Keyers, and maybe a little hijinks, like CW Behind the Head. And then there's the food. Always the food. We do a potluck buffet, and nobody goes away hungry. Then once it's all over, then it's pack it up till next year. We've got it down to a science. Takes us about a half an hour to pack everything up, and we're on our way. We would like to thank Quiet Woods RV for the use of the camper, and SBS Batteries for the use of the forklift battery. See you next year at Field Day 2014.
Okay, Dan, thank you very much there for the report from Greenville up in Wisconsin. We've got some frigid snapshots from Dave, WB6DHW. He's the ARRL PIO for Clearwater and Lewis counties. in Idaho. We're going to show you a couple of shots here and rush through these fairly quickly. First off, Dinner Time with Brian Davis, AB7ID, and Elroy Taylor, AE7UK, as well as John Kukulwich, N7ZN, all chowing down. The Three Rivers Amateur Radio Club of North Central Idaho participated in Field Day from the Fish Creek Meadows Campground. The 20-meter station was operated by AE7UK and James Cox, AE7VC. Their call there was KK3ARC, and they were operating as Class 3A. David Brainerd, Whiskey Bravo 6 Delta Hotel Whiskey, operated on 15-meter sideband with an FT-857 and a Z100-plus tuner. They only had one complaint there. That was the cold. At 50,122 feet altitude, the high temperature for the day was 57 degrees. The low temperature was 39 degrees Sunday morning. Complete with parka, Brian Davis, AB7ID, operated the 40-meter single sideband station. You can see the solar panel load charging his battery as he operated during the day. And this pavilion was the home for the weekend for the folks out in Idaho. If you need proof, the thermometer during breakfast Saturday morning, 9 degrees centigrade. That's 48.2 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's a little chilly for field day. It was closer to 100 here in Wichita for our field day. We thank Dave for those cool pictures. I think we just have time to run a video that was given to me this afternoon by Don. And it's a shot of an expert CW operator, an ex-Coast Guard radio operator. And we're going to go ahead and run that. If Don has any comments there, he can come on in real quick.
Check out Jack Beath, K5WNU, at the Pearl River County Amateur Radio Club Field Day in Picayune, Mississippi, my local club. I don't work CW at all, but Jack is a master. He's a retired Coast Guard radioman and really knows how to operate a Vibroplex. Just watch. Some things you just never get tired of watching. And watching Jack work that Vibroplex, just amazing. 7-3 from Picayune, Mississippi, and the Pearl River County Amateur Radio Club.
Man, I can barely spell CW correctly 3 out of 5 times, but watching Jack work that bug was just amazing. I'll never get tired of watching that mechanism fly back and forth on that. Just an amazing design. Dale?
Oh, it's great.
Okay, hey, Don, thank you very much for giving us that video there at the last minute. That was fantastic. My dad was a railroad telegrapher. He used to do the same kind of thing, only it made a funny sound, though. It didn't have the tone like we have on the radio. So, hey, we've saved the best for last, and we'd like to bring that in now. We're going to tie the ribbons on this video segment now with something from Russell Richter. He's Whiskey Papa 2 Alpha Hotel Golf. Russell says he has a voice for CW. So he had a good friend and the grandmother to his two daughters, Janet Clark, sing the lyrics. And he collected images from the internet and put this video together. It's a field day parody, and we think you'll enjoy it. Go ahead.
Dipole antenna strung all through the trees. Yaggies on crank-ups that sway in the breeze. Verticals reaching right up to the sky. SPF 50, or you're gonna fry.
Gen sets are humming and tube sets are glowing. Wrist rockets launching and spud cannons blowing. Satellites passing right over our heads. QSOs, QSLs, and QRZs. Pile ups to stations in far-off locations. Talk about how we love Twit and Ham Nation. How many points for get on the air? Transceivers melting, I don't even care. When the rain comes, when the bands close, when mosquitoes bite, I simply remember the contest is on, and that keeps me up all night. Ice cold libations are Red Bull or soda. Taking a break at the station for Gotham. Barbecued brisket or burgers and dogs. Eat, drink, and nap, but fill out all your logs. J-bolts from Twin Lead and good propagation. Balance and bug spray and DX and stations. FM and SSBRTTY. PSK31, give it a try. Emergency power and portable towers, keying for hours and good user shower. Why do hams do this and go so berserk? Cause when all else fails, ham radio works. When the storms come, when the phones die, when it's all berserk, we simply remember that when all else fails, that amateur radio.
Yeah. Fantastic, wow. Russell. Fantastic.
That was great.
That's awesome.
Wow. I love that. Okay. Well, that's about it for the video segment. You heard a lot of excitement from around the country in field days. And from the noise we heard on the post-show net last week, a lot of people were going to shoot videos. So we're hoping we'll have some more for you next week. But please keep them down to 2 or 3 minutes, if you will, please, so we can get more on the air. And that'll be it. Bob Gordo, take it away.
Oh, not so fast, a great one there. We want to tell them a little bit about where to send these great videos. Talk about that a second.
Oh, okay, no problem. Just send the link to your video, whether it's on YouTube or in your Dropbox, and send that to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. hamnationvideos@twit.tv. That'll do it for us.
And that video has an S on the end of it, right? Videos.
Yes, it was up on the screen just a second ago, and that would be great.
We have a lot of people on the podcast listening, so we want to try to make it very clear. We're so thrilled. What a great segment. So thanks very much, Dale. That was cool. We're going to see you on the AfterNet, so fire up the transmitter. Thanks very much.
We got it going already, Bob. 73 from the Yellow Brick Road.
All right. Okay, Gordo, you and I have been talking about this for months and months and months about getting this stuff together. That was pretty good for the first out. How about that?
Boy, I think that was terrific. And, you know, along the West Coast, we didn't get the propagation that the East Coast got. How about you, Bob? Did you work some good skywaves on 6 and 10?
We weren't on 6 meters at all. We worked basically 40 and 20 from the old 100 Vs and 200 Vs didn't have 6 meters on them, so we didn't do that. But, oh gosh, Nick and the guys worked into Germany and Europe and all kinds of stuff with the antenna, and we'll get into that a little bit. But I know you had some excitement out there, and you always do, so let's see and hear what you guys were doing out there in California.
Well, I was a guest of the Orange County Amateur Radio Club that was celebrating, I think, 80 years of doing field days. And Brian, if you'll roll them about every 2 to 3 seconds, they put up their banners on day before field day. Next one, Brian. And these are called rocket launchers. I never really knew what a rocket launcher was. Next one. But you keep adding military masts and one and one and one, and the higher and higher we go, the Orange County Amateur Radio Club really made it happen. And this video, or these video shots, are from Daniel, KI6TNE, and Tina, W6TNA, with Dave, W6DBE, looking on. And wow, what a deal to get all of these big beam antennas up safely, and just a minor little tower at the West Coast. And of course, we wanted to do a lot of satellites. Satellites were right on, and we had the new big rigs there, and we had everyone that you could think of, from Kenwood, Yaesu, ICOM, Alenco, Elecraft, you name it. And of course, GOTA and Scouts. Scouts were a big help for keeping Field Day humming, and it's great to get the kids involved. This is where the people slept. This is where Gordo slept, in the back of my black wagon. But you know, you had to sleep there at Field Day, so when the sun comes up that next morning, you're all ready to rock and roll. So Field Day for us was a great treat, and I know the Orange County Amateur Radio Club had a ball with all the folks that came in. And thanks to Tina, Daniel, Travis, and Dave for pulling these together. And by the way, those videos are from teenagers that took all the pictures. Bob, back to you. I'm Horse from Field Day, Southern Cal.
Oh, man. Well, that was great. Good to see some of our friends out there in California. Well, as many of you know, I've been like a 12-year-old kid going to Disneyland for a couple of weeks. And thanks to Nick Tusa and the guys and gals that put all of this together at West Shum's home. And I'm going to roll some stills, and we'll go through those real quick for you and let you see what happened in Tennessee. They quickly came in 3 days early and put up the site, Nick and Larry, and got it all going, the tents and the antennas. That's a 130-foot long dipole and fed with the ladder line and the tuner. But as every Field Day, you have problems. Thank goodness they brought a Variac. This is almost a must on Field Day, everybody, because here's what happened. We'll go through all this. Yeah, you found trouble. And Nick's going, uh-oh, something wasn't right. Well, first of all, the carburetor didn't work in the old gas generator, so they got that fixed. Larry got that going. Then they found out the generator was putting out 135 volts. That's where the Variac came in. But once they got it going, there's tuner problems. George is down there looking at that. George Meyer, W1LSB. There's the culprit, the darned antenna relay inside the Johnson matchbox. So they got that all going and connected properly. So we're all happy. We're on the air on 20 meters. It was great, working good. So everybody was real happy once it got up and running. Well, look at Wes Shum. Hold that picture for just a second. He's 91 years old. He's the guy that brought single sideband to us. But look how elated he was, because Joel was telling him that his receiver, he built a receiver in 1960 along in there. He built one, a prototype. But over the years that it got lost in the shuffle, he thought it was missing. Joel found it. An engineer had it. And so Joel was telling Wes, the receiver is here. And so we move up to the house, and here is the one and only Central Electronics 100R receiver that Wes and Joe Batchelor and Tom Clemens and Bill Slack, a whole bunch of guys at Central Electronics, built. They built one of them, and we got to see it. And of course, this is a one of a kind. So everybody that came there wanted to get our hands on this receiver, and it was fun. We're all, you can see a few of us, no, I want to get there. We all got our shot at listening on it, and it was fun. No, move your hand over. No, I want to get there. I want to tune it. Well, there is Wes and his lovely, lovely XYL Marge. It's been with him all these years. And finally, after all these many years, my idol, Wes Shum, and I met. He taught me so much. It's why our microphones work so much better and all of our other things because of his phasing. That was a shot I made. That was the night the big moon was up, and you can see the feed line going through the moon. I thought that was a cool picture to kind of end it all. And we just had such a great time. We have hundreds of pictures, and we'll be bringing some more of that to you in future shows. But before I go away, I have one very important thing to play for you. I asked Wes if he would say hello to all of you. Here is Wes Shum, the guy that you owe a lot to because he brought single sideband to amateur radio. And here he is. Have you had a really good time today? You enjoyed yourself?
Very good time. Enjoyed myself. Met a lot of old friends. Made a lot of new ones.
New ones, right.
Thank you very much.
Right. I want you to say hello to Ham Nation. This is a program that will be watching it. So say hello to Ham Nation.
Hello to the entire Ham Nation from W9DYV Chicago.
Thank you, Wes. It was my honor to be with you and Marge today, and thanks for all you've done.
Well, my pleasure being interviewed. I like it.
You like it. We like your products. 7-3.
Okay, thank you.
Was that cool or what? We're just I was just a follower of his from years. I built this transmitter behind me. You've heard me tell it so much. Built that when I was 18 years old. That was his 20A. And maybe I ought to come back and show you that video that we did last year of how we had to null the carrier, how we had to remove the other sideband, all because of phasing. And he was the guy that brought it to us. And what was more interesting is Art Collins bought one of his kits. He started out early days with a 10A, a kit. It was a kit. It was not built. And he sold them at Hamfest around Chicago. He didn't know what was going to happen to all of this. So Art called him and said, I want to buy one of your kits. And so he did. A month or so later, they couldn't get it to work. And so Art Collins and the crew had to call Wes Shum, and Wes had to help them align it. And I just thought that was a great story. Of course, Art Collins went on to great and wonderful things, but we all have to begin somewhere. My beginning was with Central Electronics and that 20A you see up there. Actually, I built a 10B right before that, but so much history there. Right below it is a Hallicrafters HT37, another phasing type rig. You guys want to do this, please go to this website. This is Nick Tusa's website, and it's something that you will learn a lot from. It's www.ce_multiphase.com. ce_multiphase.com. Look at that website. Is that cool or what? If you're watching on the screen, they just did a marvelous job. That's W0YVA's transmitter. That's an interesting picture of when he was given an award at a sideband dinner. Now think about this. Sideband was such a revelation in 1953 and 54. They had dinners just for those sideband operators. I noticed they're all in ties and suits. And he was awarded an award, a special award, for a special achievement to bring sideband to ham radio. I could go on forever. I want you to go on forever. Go look at that multiphase, ce_multiphase.com, and check out this incredible website. And maybe you, too, we'll get the bug. One of my good buddies here locally just bought a pair of 20As on eBay because he hears me talk about it so much. So there you go, everybody. Go check it out and join us with your phasing rig. Isn't it fun? It was just a great weekend, and we'll have more. We'll bring some of the guys back and tell you some more of the history of single sideband. And how it touched all of us. Don, I wish you could have been there. We weren't, I guess, too far from you, but I know you had a good time. So let's see what's going on in the wonderful world of Newsline, Don.
Man, what a treat to hang out with Wes Shum and all the history that's there. I had an interesting treat myself at my field day. You know, everyone's been talking about the Scouts, and the Scouts are a big part of field day and a big part of ham radio, as you'll see when we start talking about ICOM here in a little bit. You can see the K2BSA right over my shoulder. We had a group of Boy Scouts at our field day here in Pearl River County, Mississippi, and something I'd never seen before, they retired an American flag. It was, of course, worn out and stained and had holes in it, and they had a whole ceremony, the Scouts did, to retire the flag. I had never seen that, how they cut the flag apart, separated the colors, and burned each color one after the other, and just a glorious ceremony with honoring the flag and what it stands for, and it was just amazing to see. I was just too busy watching it to shoot any video or take any pictures. I was just in awe of the whole thing. And if you've never seen one of those flag retiring ceremonies, particularly done by Boy Scouts, you need to see that. But let's go ahead and get into the news of the week with Amateur Radio Newsline. Roll that.
From Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1871, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, June 26, 2013, from the site of the Pearl River County Amateur Radio Club Field Day in Picayune, Mississippi. Polish radio amateurs have signed an agreement with that nation's government regarding emergency radio communications. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
On May 7th, what might be best described as a mutual aid agreement was signed between Poland's Minister of Administration and Digitization, Michael Boni, and the chairman of the Polish Amateur Radio Union, Jerzy Jakubowski, SP7CBG. The accord promises cooperation between that nation's amateur radio service and the Polish government in support of actions that provide information on natural disasters and other events that threaten public safety. The new agreement encourages cooperation between the ministry and the Polish Amateur Radio Union in the support of actions relating to the creation of backup radio communication in the Republic of Poland for use in emergency situations, or when normal communication methods such as telephones and the Internet are overloaded or have failed. Cooperation and coordination between the Ministry of Administration and the Polish Amateur Radio Union will be the responsibility of the Planning Department of Civil Emergency Management and Emergency Notification System. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD in Berwick, Pennsylvania.
The exploits of Craig Hayhow, VK0JJJ, in bouncing radio signals off the moon from Antarctica has been written about in the Australian Antarctic Division Science Newsletter. Here's Jeff Clark, K8JAC.
VK0JJJ received a 742,000-kilometer hop when he made an EME contact with Peter Taylor, G8BCG, at Cornwall in England on May 4th. 2 nights later, he contacted Bo Nilsson, SM7FJE, in Sweden through another EME contact. The newsletter hailed these as a first from an Australian Antarctic station. VK0JJJ says that the technical challenges are immense, but with modern high-speed computers and sophisticated software, it's become a lot easier in recent years.
ICOM America has announced sponsorship for hamstudy.org. It's a new website that offers free learning tools for existing and potential amateur radio operators.
HamStudy.org users studying for amateur radio license exams can choose from 3 online learning modules for each ham radio license class. These are technician, general, or extra. FCC commercial element 1, 3, 5, and 6 study modules are also available. Educational materials include flashcards, question lists, and practice tests. Users who register for a free account can access personalized study history and submit explanations to amateur radio questions. Website registrants may also choose to log on to their account using their Google or Facebook credentials. HamStudy.org was created by Richard Bateman, KD7BBC, Rich Porter, and Michael Stuffelbeam, KV9G. It is optimized for mobile phones and tablets. Additional features are planned to be integrated to the website in the near future. Facebook users can receive regular site updates and study tips by liking HamStudy.org at www.facebook.com/HamStudy. The website is directly accessible at www.hamstudy.org.
Several videos from the 2013 Contest University sessions from this year's Dayton Hamvention are now available online. ICOM, a Contest University sponsor, posted the videos to YouTube. To find them, just go to YouTube and type ICOM America INC in the search box. Then scroll down to the bottom of the page to Contest University at Dayton Hamvention and choose the video or videos that you want to view. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. From the Pearl River County Amateur Radio Club Field Day site in Picayune, Mississippi, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
And you can see Jack Beath in the yellow shirt sitting down there behind me, getting ready to rock that Viberplex. I'm still just totally and completely in awe of that guy. Just a really cool guy and a neat little club. And we're going to make some new hams tomorrow night. All right, let's talk about ICOM and let's talk about the Boy Scouts. You see it right over my shoulder. Here's a little bit closer view. That is the QSL card for the big jamboree that is coming up next month, the K2 BSA, the official radio station for the National Office of the Boy Scouts of America, going to be very active in July. And here's George to tell you more about that.
K2 BSA, the official radio station for the National Office of the Boy Scouts of America, will be very active in July. Next month is the 2013 National Scout Jamboree. Don't just be a contact, be an ambassador to this incredible hobby. Amateurs operating the K2 BSA stations will receive a commemorative powered by ICOM K2 BSA QSL card. Talk to the scouts and share the magic of amateur radio. The National Jamboree takes place over 10 days from July 15th through 24th. The event is held once every 4 years. This year's event will be held at the Summit Bechtel Reserve in West Virginia. This summit is a new permanent home of the Jamboree. This year, K2 BSA and Chairman Jim Wilson, K5ND, will be live at the summit. Four ICOM 7200s, two 9100s, and one 7600 will be engaged in HF demonstrations. Satellite communication and a contact with the International Space Station are also scheduled. Three ICOM 2820s will monitor the repeaters, Echolink, and D-Star. Go to K2BSA's Jamboree Live webpage for on-the-air frequencies and information on how to engage with K2BSA while on the site www.k2bsa.net/jamboree-live. ICOM is the exclusive amateur radio transceiver and repeater supplier for the 2013 Jamboree. Check out the K2BSA website at www.k2bsa.net for updates on the 2013 National Scout Jamboree, and make sure you visit ICOM America's website at www.icomamerica.com/National Scout Jamboree for additional BSA information.
That is going to be so much fun. I want you to look at something real quick. Jim Wilson sent me these couple of patches. This one here is the staff patch, and this is the radio patch. And I'll bet you anything, they didn't talk about it in the ad, but I'll bet you anything that ICOM 7100 is going to be online out there, because that thing has received FCC approval. I believe yesterday it got FCC approval officially. And if it's not on sale now, I believe it is, but if it's not on sale now, it probably will be tomorrow. And you can go and pick up an ICOM 7100. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation, and you can find out everything you need to know about all of the ICOM products and everything that Ham Nation does. And while you're there, you can enter ICOM's weekly drawing for ICOM swag, like the T-shirts, hats, and all kinds of stuff. You can win the monthly grand prize drawing for a free radio. Again, it's icomamerica.com/hamnation. While you're there, go and check out the IC7100 page for information on this great, 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 great new radio. And there's a cool video there that George and Tommy and Ray Novak put together. While you can watch that and see all the touch screen and the D-Star stuff. It's all included in that new ICOM IC71. But let's talk about the radio that is part of the monthly prize drawing, and I believe we have, it's July is coming up, and there may be an information on a new radio. George Thomas, W5JDX, are you around with info on that? Let's hear it.
I am around, Don, and yes, that 7100 is nice. We got to play with one back in December, and at first I wasn't thinking a touchscreen radio. Yeah, but after I put my hands on it and laid a few fingers on the dial there, boy, it sure was nice. Everything's so intuitive on it. So it's a little different experience, maybe something you want to check out, and you can now because they're available. Well, this month, ICOM is giving away a great ID880H dual-band VHF-UHF mobile with D-Star in it. That's the same D-Star rig that I use, Don. It's got a wideband receiver, free cloning software, 50 watts of output power on both VHF and UHF, Weather Channel Receive with Weather Alert, built-in noise filters, and much more. And if you'd like to win that, well, tonight after the show, you need to go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register, because that's your last opportunity to register in this month's drawing. I don't know what the prize will be next month, but this is certainly one you want to get on. The 880H is a good mobile entry-level D-Star rig, and I've really enjoyed mine. Well, Let's do a little smoke and solder. Does that sound good with you guys?
I is ready.
Operating HF Mobile can be a lot of fun, except when you've got that annoying whine coming through the speaker. In many cases, this can be traced to the vehicle's alternator. There are several methods of dealing with alternator noise, and I had tried them all. I had tried ferrite beads on the wire, bypassing with capacitors, grounding, and none of this seemed to help. With my scope connected to the power lead, I saw a nice clean signal. However, when I cranked the vehicle, I called some local car stereo shops to see if they had alternator filters, and nobody had one in stock at the time. I guess they've been using a lot of them. The prices ranged anywhere from $24 on up to as much as you'd want to spend, so I thought I'd do a little internet searching and find where someone else had built one. I found exactly what I was looking for at worldwidedx.com. It's simple, doesn't cost very much, and is real easy to build. We won't need a lot. Just 20 foot of 12 gauge wire, which I already had. We'll need a half inch link that I got at Lowe's, and it was, a few dollars, not much. We're also going to need a 4700 microfarad capacitor at 35 volts. I picked this up at Radio Shack for less than $5. That was still kind of high for it. I got some butt connectors here to splice the wire with, and I got a little box at Lowe's to put all this in, and the box with the cover was less than $2. So, let's get started. We'll begin by measuring off 9 inches of the wire that we want to leave hanging out as a pigtail, and I'll tie wrap it down to the link so that it'll stay in place as we work. Now it's just a matter of wrapping the wire around the link as tight as we can get it. It's going to take more than one layer to get all this wire on there. Well, that took a lot of time, and my thumbs are real sore now. Let's move on, and we'll solder a short black wire to the negative terminal of the capacitor that'll be connected to ground. Once we've done that, I'll take some of the 3M weather strip adhesive that I use quite often for insulation, and we'll cover that connection so that it's sealed up good. Now we'll connect the positive end of the capacitor to one of the leads coming off the inductor we just wound, and then we'll insulate that using a piece of heat shrink tubing. Now I'll take a tie wrap and tie all three wires down so they don't get jerked around inside the box. And now here's what we've built. It's basically an L network with an inductor and a capacitor. And you'll notice the capacitor goes on the radio side of the inductor. So I'll use a piece of white heat shrink tubing and mark the input and output of my filter. And now the moment of truth. Before and after.
I think it's 6 feet off the arc is the way it does it.
So the filter did work out good, and now my HF Mobile experience will be that much more enjoyable.
And it really did work. You know, I had the noise in there for a while, and I had tried all kinds of grounding and ferrite beads and capacitors, and nothing really seemed to kill it. But, Bob, I just took a trip to Houston and back over the past week, and listen to the HF all the way over there and back. Not a hint of alternator noise in there anymore. So that's a good trick. And you can buy a filter, you know, for probably $25 for the low-end ones, and they get more expensive than that. But, you know, this one, I don't know, maybe $10 in it. So not a bad trick. There's a couple of things we're going to build coming up real soon that you should know about. And because you might want to build along. One of them here is a pretty interesting little kit. I mentioned it last week. This is the TNC Pi. It's a little TNC, which is a terminal node controller, that you can use with a Raspberry Pi. Hook that to your rig, and you're set to go with Packet, and you don't need an extra computer. Just plug it onto a Raspberry Pi, and you're set. You know, then you can you could even run it mobile, you know, because you can run all this off 12 volts with a regulator. You can get those for only $40 in kit form at tnc-x.com. And if you'd like to build that, go ahead and grab one, because we'll be starting on that in a couple of weeks here. And another kit that I just received this past week that I'm excited about is this MFJ-941EK. It's the kit version of their popular MFJ-941 HF tuner. It's a 300-watt T-network HF tuner, and there's lots of them out there in the field. You won't save a lot by building it yourself, but you'll learn something by building it yourself. It's only $129.95 at mfjenterprises.com, and it gives you an accurate SWR and watt meter, an 8-position RF routing switch, and it's got a built-in 4-to-1 balun if you want to connect balanced feed line to it. All the parts are already in here, ready to go. They've already put the coil together for you and have the switch on it, but everything else is in kit form there for you to assemble yourself. This is really going to be a lot of fun, and we'll be building it soon. So check out mfjenterprises.com and pick up your MFJ-941EK and build along with us. If you don't have a tuner, here's a good opportunity. It's not much money, and you can do it yourself, and it's not going to be that difficult. So I'm really looking forward to it. I know, Bob, you don't like tuners, but some people have to use them, you know, just depending on what they've got. In the way of land where they can put up an antenna. And this one's going to my son. You know, we just put his first HF station together this past week. He just got his general license this month, and I took over an old rig, and we set him up with that off-center fed dipole we built last week. And it's a good thing it had an auto tuner in it, because we could not get that thing up straight. It had to loop all around the yard with several bends in it. But we did get it up there, and the auto-tuner and rig was good enough to be able to tune it in. It's not as good as if, you know, we could have got it resonant, but with the angles that we had the wires, it ended up we were going to have to add quite a bit of wire to it to make it resonant. So he's on the air now. I've heard him over here in Jackson. Band conditions haven't been good since Monday when we put it up, but it's working for him, and he's really having a blast now learning a little bit about HF and getting on the air finally.
That's really great, and congratulations to him. I'm glad that you went and got him all going. It isn't that I hate tuner. I just personally don't like them. If you have the room to put up resonant dipoles, and that's always been my thing. Boy, we had to use that one at Field Day this weekend, and had trouble with the relay in it, but the tuner worked fine, of course, and we were able to work 20 and 40 with the same antenna, so that was good. Hey, George, look what I got. I'm going to have you come up here and put it together. It's Tony's SDR receiver. He built it in a box.
Oh, it looks like you've already put it together.
Oh, Tony did. He sent me the whole thing assembled and ready to go. My problem is the time to hook it up and try to get it working. And I use Apple computers, so I have to figure out how to make this baby work on an Apple, because as you know, they all use PCs. So we'll have to do some kind of weirdness bootstrapper. Anybody want to come and hook this up for me? We'll get to it. I got to find a time. That's a problem. Yeah, oh, golly. George, you got something to give away? Or you got something special there?
I sure do, Bob. And by the way, you're going to love that soft rock. It's going to be a little bit of a learning curve to get it up and running, but once you've got it up, man, there's nothing like having that pan adapter sitting right there. And the receiver is pretty decent on it as well. So that'll be a great addition to your shack. Well, you know, last week I built an off-center fed dipole, and I asked the question, what's another popular name for an off-center fed dipole? And I got an answer there from Roger, KJ6WSO. And he said another name for a popular OCF antenna design is a Windom antenna. And here's something I didn't know. He said in Europe, they're often referred to as FD3 or FD4. I had never heard that before, but I was familiar with the term Wyndham, and that's what I was looking for. Several people guessed a G5 RV. No, that's not the same antenna design. It may look similar, but it's not off-center fed. It's fed in the middle. So congratulations, Roger. We're going to send you this Heil Sound koozie. And that's right, I said koozie this week instead of coochie, which I said last week. So that's coming to you in the mail. And we've got a nice prize here for next week. I heard from Frank at cheapham.com, and he sent us some more prizes, some really good ones in there. But for next week, we're going to give away this solderless crimp terminal kit. Comes with a crimper and a good assortment of terminals on there that'll get you connected to your power supply or whatever you may have. And that's cool. If you'd like to win that, then send me an email to hamnationcontest@gmail.com and tell me, what was the first year of the, or what was the year of the first field day ever? What year was the first field day? Send me that email, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win. Bob?
Good question. That was good. Oh, yes. I'm an old guy, and I still don't know the answer to that one. My first one was 1956 with that Harvey Wells down there. I took it in the field with an SX-99 and got a lot of comments from the HF guys because 6 meters was really coming on in 1956. But we had fun. We had fun. Worked a lot of people, too. That's when six was open all the time. Well, we need to move up and see what happened in Northern Illinois for their big field day. And I'm sure she's got a good report. Cheryl, how are you doing? And did you survive okay?
I survived. Good evening, everybody. Good evening in the chat room. Good evening to the listeners. And hi, Bob. Hi, Gordo. Hi, George. And hi, Don. You guys did such a great job. It's going to be hard for me to follow up, but I'll tell you what. I had a great, great time. We had a tag team doing a single sideband, started at 10 p.m. all the way to 6 a.m. in the morning with a 20-minute break because last year the North Shore Radio Club NS9RC won Class 3A in the state and in the nation, and we're trying to keep up with that. We have someone in the chat room, K9ID, who did some great CW work for us. We had a great picnic, too, with many different people. They were very well set up there with redundant generators, and they had external tanks to keep these things going so you didn't have to keep filling them up. They were very, very organized with towers and everything they put up. So we're hoping to win again, guys. So the tally is not totally done yet. That's what I hear from the president so far. But it was a great time held by all at the Grove Cultural Center there in Lake Forest / Highland Park, Illinois. They're really, really fun, Bob. I wish you could be there. But you had so much fun, too, everybody. And, Bob, you did a great job. So I just can't say enough. That's my favorite event. I would have stayed up for 10 hours straight if I could. But I was there from 4:30 in the morning to 6 a.m. Of course, David stayed on a little bit longer to help out a little bit more. So then we just kind of separated from there. But other than that, we kind of slide in from one chair to the other. We keep hot seating and straight off from this great tag team. We did it last year, and we wanted to keep it up again. But that's my story so far. And I wanted to just kind of go over something in some of these things that were written to me in the email. I didn't have too many people. They were so interested in what you guys had going that I'm pulling from my email that someone sent 6 days ago, June 20th. What is a good antenna for a backpacker? That would come from John McLaughlin, AK4NX. He says, a question for Gordo, as he seems to be the go-to antenna guy. He says he's using a newly acquired Yaesu FT-817ND radio that does it all, HF, VHF, UHF, etc., and need a small, light-footprint, portable antenna system that will let me do it all at the local park, beach, etc. That's what he's looking for, Gordo?
Gordo is off teaching the Coast Guard. He had to take out a little bit of ghost.
Well, we'll have to ask him next time. But how about you, Bob? You have any ideas for a lightweight antenna for him?
No, I don't, because I don't do any of that, so I'd just be guessing. And hold that for next week. Gordo will help you.
All right. And one other thing that I'm going to mention, because I'm so into the MCOM classes, and I was so involved with the MCOM, level one and IC 100, 200, 700, and 800. Here's another one that was written 20 hours ago. This came from Mitch, and it's KE5HWW. He wanted to just mention this. Last September, Don K0 EMF and I took a cool class that a lot of hams may find is as good as we did. The course is called All Hazards Communications Technician, COM-G, and was created by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. We took it through Oklahoma's Office of Homeland Security. It should be available in other states through their Offices of Homeland Security or Emergency Management. It teaches you how to coordinate radio comms for incidents on the scale of Colorado and California wildfires. It also includes how to wire into a telephone system. That sounds interesting. I strongly, he writes in capitals, recommend it to all hams who are active in emergency communications. Hope you can give it some airtime on Ham Nation. The link below is the U.S. Homeland Security webpage for the class. Thanks in 73 from Mitch. And I'm going to post it in the chat room. But it's basically, www.dhs.gov. And then you're going to put a / and do communications-technician-training. And that's just a class that if you are into the emergency communications, to add to your repertoire of other classes, I'll probably try and get that involved and take it to our local EOC here and see what they think about having the ham club that's involved there with RACES/ARIES, see if they want to jump on board with that one. But it sure sounded good, and that pretty much will wrap up what I've got. And I'll have to follow up with a question for Gordo next time, Bob. I'm so sorry for that, but what can I say?
He guys, everybody, will be here.
We will we'll talk with him later. Thank you.
Have see a great you on night. 3847, 3850, wherever that happens down in there, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
You got it.
Hey, guys. Okay. Take care in 73, very everyone.
Good. Very good. Very good. Well, I just reminded myself, and Ray pointed out to me, I screwed up. The Central Electronics website is not an underscore, it's dash. Duh. Wake up, Kyle. It's www.ce-, not an underscore, ce-multiphase.com. Multiphase.com. And George, you're still there, right?
Oh, yes.
Check this out. This is my original booklet that I built that 20A from back in 58, all the dog-eared pages of it. And guess what happened the other day? Oh, Wes signed it for me.
Wow.
I told you I'm like a 12-year-old kid going to Disneyland when it comes to Central Electronics. And you will find me after a while on some of the nets with it. So we're all warmed up and going. But I was so thrilled. My goodness, my goodness. Here I am collecting signatures. That's pretty wild, isn't it? Have I got your autograph, George? I don't think I have.
I'll send it to you, or next time we get together, I'll give it to you, because I know I have yours in that new book.
Okay. At Huntsville, right?
Huntsville. We're headed to that's Huntsville. Coming up August 16th, 17th, sometime around then.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as I continue to have my beverage, which is water, and my Central Electronics cup that Nick gave me. How about that cool stuff? We will see you next week right here. And we're going to have some more video of some of the fascinating field day things. And the nets are all happening tonight. 72, where are we at? 72, 72 Dale. Is that where you guys are? Do you know? Let's see. 14, 268. Tune around a little because we have to move around for some of this stuff. What about the D-Star? You got that information, George?
Yeah, the D-Star is on reflector 14, module C, and the echo link is at star do drop in star or node number 355-800. Good show, Bob. Wish I could have been with y'all this weekend, but I did have a good time over at NASA for field day over there, and we'll be talking about that in the future.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And thanks to everybody back at Petaluma. What a nice job you did with all the videos and the stills. And Also, we got to thank Dan. He keeps those wiki pages going. And, Tom and the guys keeping D-Star. There's a lot going on. There's a whole team that we've assembled here, and it continues to grow with great talent. And amateur radio is better because of Leo Laporte giving us the bandwidth and the support back at the studio. This is not a one-man show. There's so many people behind the scenes, and I appreciate everybody because I love this hobby so much. We'll see you in a little bit. I got the 20A warmed up. We're going to turn the 600L on and the no-tune linear. We'll be there. 7-3, everybody. This is K9EID. Bye-bye for now.